From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the show. We got a great podcast for you. I am your host, Rob Parker. Stopping by, former Major League slugger Gary Sheffield. He'll give us some thoughts on Mookie Betts. He loves the guy. Also, Pirates second baseman Kevin Newman. He has a charity event he wants you all to know about. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Wednesday was a historic day in Major League Baseball after the Milwaukee Bucks decided that they would boycott playing Game 5 of their NBA playoff series against the Orlando Magic. The Milwaukee Brewers, showing a sign of solidarity, joined in and decided they didn't want to play. The Cincinnati Reds agreed. They also agreed not to play in the game. And then there was the Seattle Mariners, who have 10 African-American players on their roster, and they also voted not to play their game against the Padres. This all because of the shooting of Jacob Blake, a black man in Wisconsin, after an altercation with police. So baseball, also following the lead of the NBA, deciding too that it stands against racial injustice and police brutality, and other black players around baseball also joined in. This was something to watch, and it shouldn't have come as a total surprise by the Brewers, because manager Craig Counsell had this to say. Quote, "A black man was shot and his life is in peril. And frankly, it shouldn't be," Counsell said. "We have a systemic problem that we need to address. We all need to educate ourselves. Whether you agree or disagree with what I'm saying, I think it's important that we continue to think. We continue to pursue policy change. We continue to act, because there's violence happening that just absolutely should not be happening. And we can't stay quiet about it." End quote. I can understand why Craig Counsell was emotional about it. Obviously, it happened in Wisconsin, and people watched this on television, on video, on social media, and these things keep happening. And I love the idea that the sports community, baseball included, will not turn a blind eye to some of the injustices going on in this country.
Number two.
And the pitch to Gonzalez. Line shot into right, coming in his angle. He's got the ball. And this one's over. And Lucas Giolito has thrown a no-hitter here at Guaranteed Rate Field. August 25th of 2020, Lucas Giolito no-hits the Pirates.
Amazing feat, Lucas Giolito, with the no-no. You know how hard it is to throw a no-hitter in the big leagues? There's so many good hitters, broken bats, anything can happen. But he did it for the White Sox. And, you know, people were talking about the White Sox pitching. They got some mashers on that team. But do they have enough pitching? He might have just sparked the answer for the White Sox. And here's a little nugget. Are you ready? When he was a 12-year-old playing baseball in California, guess who one of his coaches was? Hall of Famer Dave Winfield. Yes, indeed. That's got to be pretty special for both Lucas and for Dave to see one of the kids he helped nurtured come full circle and wind up pitching a no-no in the major leagues. Hats off and bravo.
Number three.
Coming into Wednesday's start against the Atlanta Braves in the first game of a doubleheader, Gerrit Cole was 20-0 with a 1.97 ERA in his past 28 starts. Did you hear what I said? 20-0, 1.97. That 28 start undefeated streak was tied with two other players for the second longest in Major League Baseball history. That is an incredible streak. And as we all know, all good things come to an end. But what a ride by Gerrit Cole. And I think anybody would take that streak.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome in, of course, a guy who I think belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame and who gets my vote every year, Mr. Gary Sheffield, who, of course, hit over 500 home runs, 509 to be exact, in his career, and nine-time All-Star World Series champion in 1997. Welcome to the podcast, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. Gary, let's just, the news of the day is, and you're a conscious brother, you know what's going on out here in the world. The boycott of the NBA started with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then the rest of the teams joined in, at least, and did not play playoff games on Wednesday. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think, you know, we're in different times. And I think it starts with LeBron James being the leader of the NBA. He's been doing a lot of different things in the community. You know, I promise, you know, schools, he's a man of his of actions. He's been doing a lot of wonderful things, and that's why I tell people all the time, if one guy that I ever want my kids to try to be like or want to be like or use it as an example, it's LeBron James, and he stepped up for these guys. And I think his leadership qualities have gotten all these guys on board to take a stance on the social injustice and the police brutality and things like that. So they're going in the political world that a lot of baseball players, football player, basketball player, hockey players never went that route. But I think now the times are different because these younger kids, they really get it.
No doubt about it. And speaking of different times, the COVID-19 and trying to play baseball through it, for the most part, without a bubble, baseball, there's only been about three teams that have really been hit by it. Are you surprised? And if you were still playing, Gary, would you have taken part in this season?
That's a good question. You know, it depends on the situation. You know, I don't have anybody in my family that has any kind of effects from, you know, having diseases or things like that, that it can be affected by it. So I have to understand, you know, the disease, which I don't think anybody does at this point. But, you know, knowing me and knowing what's going on, and I just talked to Derek Jeter the other day, and we was talking about him having 18 players missing and still having to compete. You know, I just probably would be 50-50 at this point. I don't know what I would do at that time if I was still playing, but I think I'll be 50-50 on it.
Our guest is Gary Sheffield, of course, the former outfielder and infielder in the big leagues. And Gary, let's talk about baseball and some of the players. Mookie Betts, of course, before the season started, signed a huge contract with the Dodgers, a contract extension for buku bucks. And boy, is he having a season for the Dodgers. Tell me about him. Do you like Mookie Betts as a player? And what do you like the most?
I know. I don't just like him. I love him. You know, I think, you know, he's a great example for the game. He's a great ambassador half for your game. You know, this kid plays like he's having fun out there. He makes the game look easy. You know, the little bit that I know about him, you know, it seems like anything he puts his mind to, he can probably be the best at it, bowling, basketball, whatever the case may be. So when you're talking about a kid like that, you know, I don't just want to limit him like most people do and say, you know, he's just athletic. No, this guy has good genes. You know, he's a small guy. So, you know, this guy here is one of the probably the best player in the game, all-around player, I would say. You know, Mike Trout, based on the bat in his hand, I think he's the best player in the game. But Mookie Betts is the best all-around player.
Mookie Betts the other day became the first Dodger to have two home runs and two stolen bases in the same game. Doesn't that seem almost impossible that as long as the Dodgers have been around and all the great players who have played there, that he's the first guy to make that happen?
You mean tell me I didn't do that?
No, you did not. You did not. And you know that.
Well, I might have had one stolen base with two home runs, right? You got to go look that up.
Oh, I'm sure you had that. I'm positive.
No, but I'm not surprised. You know, this guy, he can do anything on the baseball field. You know, he probably can hit third in that lineup, but they line up so deep. You know, he's more dangerous for that team, and he's more effective being in that number one spot. And anytime you got him at the top of your order, I mean, that problem started when the game started. And this guy can go deep. He can hit the ball in the gap. He can get a walk, steal bases. I mean, these guys that are hitting behind him, you know, they're gonna love having him there.
You played with the Yankees, and the Yankees always, like, of late, they still win a lot of games, even though their big guys are out. Stanton and Judge are injured again, you know, not playing, but they seem to still keep in the mix. Why is that? Why are the Yankees able to sustain? Is it that they're just deep and they have a lot of talent sitting around who probably, you know, would be playing for other teams, but the Yankees seem to be able to reload even when they're missing people?
You know, that's a good question, Rob, is that, you know, I played on 8 different teams, and I watch how each team go about player personnel, you know, how deep my rotation, how deep is my team. The Yankees have the best resources, I think, of all of baseball. They don't just settle on you know, 25-man roster, and then they leave it at that. They might have another 10, 15 kids that can come up and help you on any given day. There's kids that used to come up during the season, and I didn't even remember they was my teammates.
Right.
You know, they would come in and pitch a day and pitch 6 innings and give you some quality innings, and we would win that game. Next thing you know, he's out of there. Then all of a sudden, you'll see an outfielder come up, and he might get 2 hits and score a run. And, you know, you only find that stuff out when it's time for to do the timeshares meeting. And when you do the timeshares meeting, you're saying, well, what about this guy? I'm like, I don't remember that guy. Well, he threw 6 scoreless innings for us, and he got us a win. And so you're looking at all of that stuff. And I think that just that alone, just the resources the Yankees have, you know, during the playoffs, we never saw scouts. But when the playoffs came, They had probably 20 scouts to show up to the locker, and we're like, who are all these people?
Right,
these are advanced scouting, and so and then when you have the advanced scouting telling you that every single thing about every single pitcher and every single player on the other team, it's an advantage.
Now, Chef, you coach along with being a sports agent, you also coach baseball. You coach your. One of your sons' high school is at Tampa Prep.
Yes.
We've seen all these guys, Tatis Jr., you know, there's so many guys who have sons now in the big leagues. It's incredible. Toronto has a slew of former players' sons playing. Tell me about your son, how good he is and what position he plays and his future. Does he have a chance to make it to the big leagues?
Well, all of my boys have a chance. You know, I have one in West Georgia. He's playing center field. I have one. He's a center fielder. He's going into his senior year. He's been recruited by Dartmouth University. You got the Vanderbilts. You got the St. John's. You got all of these schools that's recruiting him. His upside is tremendous. You know, he's identical size as I was in high school, maybe a little bigger and stronger. He's a lot faster. He hits the ball just as far as I did. The thing about him was he was a standout football player that was recruited all over the place for football. And he got away from it for a while, but now he's just committed to baseball. And he's a raw kid, and I think his upside is so high, the sky's the limit. And then my 14-year-old, he's the chosen one. Everybody says that this kid is special on the baseball field. He does things with ease. And then I got my 12-year-old. His hand's as big as mine already. So I think he's going to be my biggest kid. So, you know, I'm on the grind with these kids all day, every day. But, you know, one thing that we got to change in this world, And that, like you said, it's a crazy world. It's getting these black kids in these D1 schools and giving them the opportunity to play D1 baseball.
No doubt. All right, his name is Gary Sheffield. And as usual, Chef, you know you're going to get my Hall of Fame vote because you are a Hall of Famer. My man, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
And I really appreciate you, Rob, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Doing wonderful work.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Well, we've seen plenty of consternation about the 3-0 pitch lately, most notably Fernando Tatis Jr.'s grand slam on a 3-0 pitch with his team up 7 runs a few weeks back. Now, putting all the insane hot takes aside, Tatis Jr.'s dinger was a microcosm of something we're seeing more and more lately in Major League Baseball. And the fantastic Andrew Simon over at MLB.com did a deep dive on this exact phenomenon, recently showing that players are swinging at 3-0 more than they have as far back as 1988 when pitch tracking became a thing. Now, the rate of swing on 3-0 counts have risen in 9 of the last 10 years for a few reasons. And for starters, it's normally the best pitch you're going to see in an at-bat. According to StatCast last year, 34.2% of fastballs were in the heart of the zone on 3-0 counts, by far the highest mark of any count. And if you don't swing there, with the ridiculous stuff pitchers possess these days, you probably won't see anything close or straight the rest of the AB. Now, through the games on Monday the 24th, hitters are OPSing nearly 2,000 on 3-0 counts, which would be the highest mark since 1988. There have already been 12 home runs on 3-0 counts this year in only a month's worth of games, or, put another way, one fewer than was hit in the entire 1992 season. Guys, forget the take sign. Let it eat, no matter the count.
That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
J.R., is it foul or fair to say that the Nats should have let Steven Strasburg leave in free agency, having completed the job of winning a World Series MVP in 2019, rather than invest $245 million in an injury-prone pitcher?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
Strasburg has been talented but injury-prone in his career. In 2010, it was the Tommy John surgery that he had prior that limited him in his debut season. Then 2011 was a wash, and he came back from elbow ligament replacement surgery in 2012, where they basically rebuilt his arm, and he pitched great, but an innings limit kept him out of the playoffs. After that, he made 200 starts with that arm, and he was an all-star doing it. Injuries aside, he lived up to the top billing he came into the league with, but we all know he's fragile. His 6'3", 245-pound frame is intricately constructed. It was a matter of time before he got hurt again. To give him a $145 million raise was honorable but highly questionable. Strasburg already gave the Washington Nationals his best 10 years. 2012 to 2019, 5 trips to the playoffs, 4 NL East titles, and he was the Nats' leader in WAR, 33.3. It might have been best to cut ties and look at it as a great decade. Now they are stuck with the $35 million per year, 32-year-old albatross until 2026.
Now it's time for some diamond dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
Well, baseball is a numbers game, so let's talk numbers. 11,000, that's how many wins the Chicago Cubs have as a franchise. The team reaching that milestone this week with a win over the Detroit Tigers. Congrats to the Cubbies, who now only trail the Giants for the second most victories in the history of Major League Baseball. 2087, that's the number of RBIs that Albert Pujols now has in his career. Pujols surpassing Alex Rodriguez earlier this week, placing Pujols second on the all-time list behind Hank Aaron. 100, as in 100 years. That's when Ray Chapman died 100 years ago. Chapman is the only major league player to be killed by a pitched ball. But Chapman isn't only known for that terrible incident. He's also happens to own a record, albeit lesser known. He remains the single-season leader in sacrifice bunts with 67 in 1917. And finally, 405. That's what Rockies right fielder Charlie Blackmon was hitting heading into this week, sparking conversation that Blackmon could become the first player since Ted Williams to hit 400 on the season. Well, if that happens, there will no doubt definitely be an asterisk to the accomplishment. Still, a 400 batting average in a 60-game season, not easy to do, especially considering how difficult it is to hit for average in today's game. For perspective, the league-wide batting average, just .235, and that's the lowest in baseball history.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here's another reason why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. It's because of players like Pirates second baseman Kevin Newman. He's not only swinging the bat to try to help the Pirates win, but he's also trying to help the community during this COVID-19. How you feeling, buddy?
Feeling good. Thank you for having me, Rob. I appreciate it.
Kevin, you also have a fundraiser going on, you and your wife, which is pretty impressive in aid to try to help support COVID relief efforts in Pittsburgh. Can you tell people about that and how they can get involved?
Yeah, so my wife and I were really trying to think of some ways that we could help the community. Obviously, just a really tough time now for everybody. So what we ended up doing was partnering with the Pittsburgh Foundation's Emergency Action Fund, which is targeting COVID relief. And what they do is, they spread out the money to over 100 different, really good charities and organizations in Pittsburgh just to help people in need. So what we did was, we're auctioning or we're giving away a game-used jersey, a game-used bat, and game-used batting gloves, all signed. And how you enter is, we've put together a GoFundMe, and basically $5 enters you to enter in the batting gloves, and $10 gets you in the bat, and $20 gets you in for the jersey. So, just a donation of any of those amounts enters you to win any certain thing. And, anybody who makes a donation is also entered to win 4 tickets to a Pirates game and then a meet and greet before a game next year. So just really exciting. We've done pretty well. Already raised close to $4,000 for the community. So it's been a really positive, fundraiser and having a good time with it. And I'm just really thankful for the people that have been donating.
Well, I did make a donation, I want you to know. And if I did win the prize, I would, of course, give it to some Pittsburgh Pirate fan who listens to the radio show or the podcast. I will do that. Almost halfway to your goal. How can people, if they're listening and want to join in, how can they help?
Yeah, so if they want to go to, my Instagram, there's in my bio a link to the GoFundMe. Just targeting, people to try to get to that page and see what we're about and kind of encourage people to check out the Pittsburgh Foundation and all the good that they do. But, the best way is heading to that link entering the whichever one you want to enter in, just any sort of donation to the whole cause would be great.
And what's your Instagram? What is it?
Kevin Newman 27.
Our guest is Kevin Newman, shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you came out of the game the other day after a swing. Let's give us everybody an injury update on you. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Definitely feeling better. Yeah, it was a kind of a precautionary sort of deal. Just felt a little something on the swing. It was a lower ab strain, pretty mild. So just day to day right now, and taking it one day at a time. Hopefully get back out there soon.
Awesome. I know it's been a tough year for the Pirates. How tough is it to play under these conditions, Kevin?
Yeah, it's definitely strange. It's not anything that we've ever done before. And it's certainly weird. It's different. But, you know, every team's doing it. So so it's just it's hard to describe. But yeah, something kind of weird.
Did you ever think about not taking part in this?
I did not, personally. I was going to play regardless. So, the league's done a good job of keeping it safe for us and putting in some good guidelines to help protect the players. So I think that helps a lot of people. Definitely makes us a little more comfortable.
You had a tremendous rookie season, batted 308. The adjustment, how difficult was it? Or is it still an adjustment as you go on, you know, after you had success your first year? Are they pitching you any differently this year?
It's definitely always an adjustment. I had a good year, came back just trying to build on that. It's funny, man. It's hard to see if they're pitching me differently or if they're just, trying to battle through the coronavirus. Spring training one, spring training two, the whole deal, kind of like the hitters are. So it's, I think everything's just a little bit strange right now. And, I haven't seen much different pitches or pitching, tendencies. But everybody's kind of just going out there trying to do everything they can, trying to stay healthy and trying to play baseball.
He is the shortstop of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Kevin, we appreciate you joining us on the podcast. Continue swinging that bat, and good luck on raising money and helping out during these really tough times. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.